God is the sower, we are the ground. We are the sowers and God is the sun. God is the sower and we are the seeds. God is the sower and sometimes we are the weeds. In ancient times, the seeds were not just one kind of seed. The fields held a mixture of grains, wheat and rye, spelt, amaranth, millet and kamut, perhaps barley. What grows best depends on the year. Is there more rain or more sun? Is it hot or cool? If it's a hot season, some grains will grow best in the bottomlands where there's more water. If it's wet, some will grow better on a rocky, well-drained hillside. And the sower never knew when sowing what would grow best that season or where. We have a tendency to turn this tale into a morality tale. The bad soil and the good soil, those of us who are bad and those of us who are good. But the sower in this story sows on all this great variety of ground where there are rocks and weeds and pathways and hillsides. And what is amazing about seed is that it sprouts in all of those places. The seeds of the kingdom are sown abundantly and liberally, finding their way into cracks in hard ground, growing up amidst thistles and thorns, or nurtured in good, dark soil. A parable has many meanings. The best soil for the growing of the seeds of the kingdom may not be what we expect. Kindness grows where people are poor. Compassion grows where people have been trampled. And honesty sprouts where the greeds grow up to choke it. Blessings grow where people have little. Yet as we think about the story of the sower sowing seeds in all these places, remember two things. We never know what the season will hold, and we never know where the new seed will grow. And second, remember Jesus, the descendant of Abraham, the seed of Jesse, and the son of David, the land he came from, is considered a land of poor soil. Even those in the temple asked, could anything good come out of Nazareth? Matthew says the seed is the word of the kingdom, and Luke says the seed is the word of God. And later in Matthew, Jesus says the sower is the Son of Man. But what is really shocking in the story is how wasteful and extravagant and profligate the sower is. Instead of saving the seed, carefully sowing it all only on those places, he can be sure that it will grow. He tosses the seed with abandon because it is abundant. The sower sows by the roadside and the pathway and in the midst of thorns. The sower sows a word on rocky hillsides from a boat by the shore. In the midst of people uprooted by wars and religious politics, in Galilee and in Nazareth, the sower sows the word among tax collectors and temple priests. The sower sows among fishermen and farmers, among a rich woman like Mary of Magdala and a poor woman by the well. Jesus describes how the seed is received in our lives, lives that are marked by times when we walk the hard roadways and when we live in the midst of rocky soil and when we struggle against the weeds and the thorns that choke our good intentions and suck the water away from us, and yet still the sower sows. And next season, the sower will sow again. Perhaps the rains will come, and the sun will shine, and soil will soften, and the seeds will grow. The sower sows seed where there is barely any soil, in city streets and concrete alleys where cracked pipes shatter like thorns, and drugs and hallucinations suck the life from people. The sower sows seeds in carpeted hallways and towers made of concrete and steel and glass, where greedy thorns grow tall and strong, and the weeds of wealth wrap their tendrils among us and separate us from one another and the earth and the neighboring plants. What is truly amazing is that in these places, the seed will grow, and it will bear unexpected harvest. There's a drug addict who taught a young minister scripture memorized from his time in prison. The schizophrenic who used his last few coins to bring his hallucinating friend to a church for help. The stockbroker who refused to compromise her ethics. The doctor who goes to prison for giving choice to the desperate. the minister who hears the seed in the voices of the people, not just the words of Scripture. The sower returns again and again to sow among our rocks and our weeds and our confusion of pathways, that in our acts we might bear a rich harvest, and that this harvest will in turn carry seeds to other places of rocky soil and weedy gardens. And we too sow seeds, not knowing what will grow or where, only knowing that we were asked to be both sower, seeds, soil, and land, and sometimes we are the rain. When this task seems too much and too confusing for us, we are told these words. Bishop Ken Untner of Saginaw wrote this: "It helps now and then to step back and take the long view. The kingdom is not only beyond our efforts, it is beyond our vision. We accomplish in our lifetime only a tiny fraction of a magnificent enterprise that is the Lord's work. Nothing we do is complete. But that the kingdom always lies beyond us. No sermon says all that could be said. No prayer fully expresses our faith. No confession brings perfection. No pastoral visit brings wholeness. No program accomplishes the church's mission. No set of goals and objectives includes everything. That is what we are about. We plant the seeds that one day will grow. We water seeds already planted, knowing they hold future promise. We lay foundations that will need further development. We provide yeast that affects far beyond our own capabilities. We cannot do everything. And there is a sense of liberation in realizing that. This enables us to do something, and to do it very well, but not everything. It may be incomplete, but it is a beginning, a step along the way, an opportunity for the Lord's grace to enter and do the rest. We may never see the end results, but that is the difference between the master builder and the worker. We're the workers, not the master builders, ministers, not messiahs, prophets of a future that is not our own." Amen.